Thank you, Paul. Now, this is a sort of new work I started after I was invited by Greg. And I will talk about social amoeba or cellular slime mold, which is a model organism for cellular cooperation explained by several people before. And they normally spend unicellular life and eating their food. It's a bacteria. And when they find out the food is depleted and start to aggregate, and they're forming this fruiting body. Now, I picked up this from the website. And then about, I think it's a 10,000, oh, thank you, this one. Point, oh, great, great, thank you. Oh, so fine, don't worry. I will operate classical manner. Now, this include only 10,000 or 100,000 cells. Okay. Now the scale is very different from previous one. This they form first assemblage, and then they will form this fruiting body. And this portion is dead cells, and it's called stalk. And these cells are committing sort of suicide. It's a self-sacrificing. You can say that that is an altruistic act. And they will raise the other cells, which will become spore. That spore will disperse and presumably to the finding out the microhabitat, which still a lot of food available. Now, so this portion of the assemblies, they will move like this. They're called slug. This portion cells are called pre-stalk cells, and this is pre-spore cells. Now, this is a very interesting system. So there are some theoretical modelings discussing how much, how the ratio would be evolved. This is a typical model done by Ulf Diekmann's group. Now, the different strains they assumed has a different propensity to contribute to this talk, self-sacrificing. And if you read that paper very carefully, they simply assume that each cell has a certain fixed probability to become stalk. And if you take this, then it is not really correct. It is very well known over 30 years or longer, the ratio of the stalk cells and spore cells are be adjusted. This is assemblage. As I said, this portion, 20% of cells becomes a pre-stalk, and then this pre-spore. But if you cut this into two pieces, and then now all cells has to be a pre-stalk, and they will readjust it into the 20% stalk and 80% spore. And this one too, 20% stalk and 80% spore. So there must be some way that cells know the need of more stalk. But the cells should communicate each other. And then this is the most important chemical signals they use, DIF1. Okay? DIF1 itself is a very small chemical, but probably producing them requires some sort of machinery. Now, this is normal ones. If you apply more DIF1s, you could see that the fraction of the pre-stalk cells increase. Pre-stalk cells is a sort of engaging the altruism. So in the sense that cells becomes more altruistic when they receive this chemical signal. So that the DIF1 is a signal which tells need more, altruisms. Now we can think about the simplest possible model to describing these situations. Suppose the cells are jumping two states, pre-stalk cells, okay? And then they will produce DIF1. Okay? DIF1 is produced by pre-spore cells. They will tell the need of stalk. Okay? Now then they will be decomposed or inactivated by the pre-stalk cells, T cells, and which is because they have the enzyme to inactivate. And then this, we denote this concentration C, this will affect the rate of change, rate of transition between these two states. And higher C will enhance the transition from P plus power to plus torque. Okay? And we simply assume that this will maybe proportional to the concentration, or backward movement will be suppressed. So our simplest would be just inversely proportional. Now, if you combine these kind of things into very simple model, it's think would be like this. Okay? This indicate the transition of the pre-stoke cells. You know, this is a pre-spore to pre-stoke, and this is a backward. And that's the increasing function of the chemical, and then decreasing function. Now, the total number of cells, we assume, is a fixed T, so a fixed constant N, I'm sorry. So pre-spore cells is N minus T. And chemical kinetics is like this. It is produced by pre-spore and decomposed by pre-stoke. Now, if you run this one, we could immediately see that the ratio of pre-stoke to pre-spore is globally stable. They will quickly converge to, irrespective of the initial condition, quickly converge to the that values. And this is consistent with you know, what you know, observed in experiments. Now, to me, it's interesting is this does not include the total cell number. That means even if total cell number in assemblage is fewer or larger, it doesn't matter. Both P and T increases with total cell number, but the ratio is you know, quite stable. And this is also observed in experiments. Now, that is things occurring if the you know, fruiting body is formed by single kinds of cells, single strains. So all you know, cells has a same rate of you know, chemical productions and same sensitivity to chemicals and so on. Now, what happens if this is a form? It's a mixture of the two strains. Say there are strain one, two strain twos, and both will produce you know, one. This is a common pool, and then they will also decompose. And within this strain one, there are T cell and the T cells, okay, spore, pre-spore and pre-stoke, and the transition will be controlled by this amount of diff one. The same is true within T strain two. There are transitions and controlled by diff one, and things will become like this. This describes the you know balance of the kinetics of the pre-stoke cells of strain one and strain two, and this rate or sensitivity to the chemical may be different. Then kinetics of the cell, chemical is described by single thing. It is a pool. Now we can immediately show in this particular example, we can very easy to create these kind of things. Now strain one and the strain two, if we let them form fruiting body, they show exactly same ratio. They have the same maybe 20% of the pre-stoke and versus the pre-spore. Okay? However, if you then let them mixed, okay, then 50% of cells are strain one and 50% is strain two, and they show the very different ratios. In this case, strain two contribute less to the stoke. Okay? So and then they will become more spores. Spores is the ones which can survive and disperse. So in these situations, you know, it is described, this is the cheetah, strain two is the cheetah. Especially this behavior is, I think, described facultative cheetah. When they form a single, single strain fruiting body, they will contribute enough to making up these pre-stoke things. But then they mix with other strains, then they will sort of contribute less. Okay, that is one of the interpretations. Now, if you look at the ratio within strain one or strain two, ratio of the T to P, stoke to spore, this is determined only by its sensitivity to the chemicals. But if we let grow, this is within the mixed strains, but is, if they let grow separately, then the ratio would be also depending on production rate and decomposition rate. So therefore, it is very easy to form that two strains has exactly the same the size or shape of the stalk, but when they mix, they show very different size. Now, let me talk about evolution. What I mean evolution is very simple, like this. Okay, once starting from single amoeba, they will eat and divide. And then when they find out the food is depleted, they start forming into a fruiting body. And then they will disperse. And suppose there are multiple strains, and they have a different rate of the chemical productions, the decompositions, and sensitivities. And then what would be the ones which will proliferate most? To discuss this one, we have to consider what is the benefit to have some stock. So in this case, a success, dispersal success, and settlement success of spore depends. Here, we assume it's a presence of the stalks. So we just simply assume it is an increasing function of the number of pre-stalk cells. If the stalk cells are very few, then they will die, but then we increase like this. Now, suppose different strains have different parameters. And to discuss the fitness, to discuss the evolutionary consequences, we think about certain strain will stay, and then other strain, whether it can increase or decrease, and so on. And this is a fitness. You see, fitness of strain I is simply number of spores I described, starting from single amoeba, grow, and then forms, fruiting body, and then disperse. So this number of spores multiplied by success of the dispersal, and this will be increasing function of the stalks, and then also multiplied by and cost of different productions. Okay, you think about small. There is a small cost. Now we think about sort of evolutionary trajectories. That typically think like this. Suppose there is a strain which occupy the populations. And then the mutant, which has slightly different parameters, might coming in by mutation, and that will increase and depress. Then the second strain, slightly different, fail to increase somehow. And the third strain coming in, and so on. This kind of sequence of the mutations and replacement will generate this kind of change. In this particular case, starting from different point, if the we assume the mutation mutant is close to the parents, we can generate like this. And now in this particular case, horizontal axis is chemical signal production rate A, and vertical axis is a sensitivity to the chemicals. And assuming all the other parameters are the same for different strains, for simplicity. Okay. Now what is this interpretation of that one? If you look at, okay. I think we can see there is a line. There's a line like this, okay? And then the point will quickly converge to this line, and then along this line, they will slowly moving this way. And what this means, now, if you think about that point, where each cell produces a large amount of the chemicals, okay, these ones, and then also each cell has very sensitive to the chemical, as a result, many cells will become to the stalk. So there are only few remains as a spore. So this is a too many stalks. So it's not very good. This is the opposite, you see? Each cell produces only little amount of the spore, diff ones, and then sensitivity is low. So here, many wants to become the spore, and then they have only short stalks. So they fail to disperse very well, so not good. This is not good. Okay, there's optimal ratios of T and P. Okay, and which will maximize the number of surviving spores. Okay, so these lines corresponding to the optimal T over P ratio. Now, if you look, compare this point and that point, both of them gives exactly the same shape, exactly the same ratio. However, this point, the cells produce a lot more chemical, and the cell's sensitivity is low. This is the opposite, produce less, and then each cell very sensitive to the chemical. Now, what is the interpretation of this movement? And we could think about this formalism. This is, in biology, it's called quantitative genetics. It is describing a sort of the first order moment of traits. Okay. Now, this is a quantitative traits, continuous traits, and then simplest picture, okay, there is a distribution. And then suppose the ones which has larger this value can survive or reproduce better, the next generation, they will shift this way. So so like this, okay? So there's a fitness curve. This survivorship is, say, this kind of shape. Then the, this population will move the traits. And the amount of one generation change, okay, in the first mean value is in a first order approximation of under weak selection. It's a product of variation. It's a, to be exact, it's additive genetic variance in the jargon. It's a variation of the traits within population multiplied by strengths of selection, or to say selection gradient. Okay? Without variation, they can't make evolutionary response. Now, we can immediately extend to that case with the two traits. Okay, two traits just to do Taylor expansion. We can do like this and have like this. Two traits, one generation change of X and Y is a, this is a variance covariance matrix. And then this is a selection gradient with respect to X and with respect to Y. I'm sorry, this is Japanese. It says a tail length and then female mate preference. I produced this formalism a long time ago to describe the mate choice. Now, anyway, now we apply these things into our context. Okay, A is a production rate of diff1. Okay, F0 is a sensitivity of cells to diff1. Okay, these are traits we are focusing on evolution. Okay, the one generation change is a product of this. This is a positive matrix. And then this is a selection gradient. So beta is a sort of force of selection to increase A, increase production rate. We can, after some arithmetic, write down like this. This is a selection gradient to increase F0. What is the interpretation? Now, this portion, I think, can be interpreted as the selection to realize optimal stock size. In fact, the optimal stock size, at the optimal stock size, these terms vanishes. They will converge to this one. Okay. Now then, there is an additional term. This is relatively small. We can interpret these small terms to this is a minus. That means try to decrease A production rate. This is a selection to reduce the diff1 production. Now we can interpret this way. The dominant terms. We make this convergence, quick convergence, this line, and which realizing optimal T over P ratio, and then very slow movement due to the cost of the different production. So as a result, what happens is that evolutionary result is like this. You see, this is a case when each fruiting body consists mostly of the, or maybe all, of the single strain cells. Then evolution quickly realized the optimal stalk spore ratio first, and then maintaining this optimal stalk ratio, then diff1 production becomes smaller and smaller, and then sensitivity of the cell to this chemical should increase. This is a result when all fruiting body is consist of the single cell, single strains. But what happens if there is some chance to a mixture of cars? The things are very different. Okay. Now, probability 1 minus m, the same things, starting from single cell and the increase and from. Now, probability with, this is exactly the same as before, probability with m, and then they will start from two cells instead of single cells. And then they will proliferate. And then when they deplete the food, they start forming fruiting body. And if both of them are strain 1 or both of them strain 2, it's the same as before. But there's some chance. One cell is a one amoeba is strain 1, and the other one amoeba is strain 2. Then now they form a mixture of two strains in which the cells, half of the cells are strain 1, half of the cells are strain 2. Now we could calculate how many survive. This is the same as before. Now, to calculate this one, we have to use the kinetics of, chemicals and so on. And do like this. Very similar. They will quickly converge this curve. And then after that, now they will converge to this point. So the intermediate point. Previously, it will move upward. Okay? A become very small. Now they will stop here. What is this interpretation? If you do the same analysis as I explained before, this is a selection gradient which increasing A and selection gradient increasing F naught. Okay? This is a production rate and sensitivity to the chemical different. And this portion is exactly the same as before. A little messy, but the same. Okay? This will realize to quick convergence to the optimal T to P ratio, okay? And then there is a small term which try to decrease the different production rate because of the small cost of production. Now there is a new term here, which is also negative term. Negative means they try to decrease F naught. F naught is a sensitivity to the different chemicals, signals. Now it is proportional to multiplied by m, the probability of mixing. So what this means is that in a situation, the strains are mixed with some probability, and having too much sensitive to this chemical is too risky. They can be, because you know, D1 will tell us that we should commit sort of suicide, you know. So if you are mixed with a cheetah, they will just let you becomes altruistic act. So having less sensitive is quite important. So as you say, quick convergence, after this quick convergence, there are two forces that you decrease A and also decrease F naught. And that is an outcome of this point. Okay? And as a result, if there is a small fraction of possibility of mixing exist, then production rate increase of the chemical increase and the sensitivity of the cells to this different decline very quickly. However, shape of this fruiting body are not very sensitive to this. This is, I think it's very important. Message is like this. Okay? If not mixed, optimal spore stock ratio will be realized, and then different production decreases. But if there is some chance to be mixed, then a still optimal stock spore ratio remains. But cells tend to produce more chemical signals. Now, what is the message of this very simple story? I'm a theoretician. I have been working on the many problems of the cooperation by punishment or inductive disposal and so on, and or maybe evolution, evolutionary adaptations. And in this, most of the models in ecology and animal behavior, evolution and biology, we operated like this. Okay? We think about there are a range of phenotypes. Phenotype can be the date of emergence, body size, tail length. Okay. Now we don't ask how this phenotype is formed. Okay. Now there are a range of the phenotypes. Now only small fraction of this one is observed in nature, and then the process to select this one is natural selection or sexual selection or random drift. Okay. So just focusing on our attention to this portion is our main things in this. But a large fraction of the biology or cell biology, molecular biology, development biology are very busy in identifying the pathways, how to realize these phenotypes. So they are too busy to do that. So they are not considering about selective process or how this is advantageous. So I think that we should, if we know this pathways, and sometimes it is useful to combining both of these knowledge. So think about, so in the particular case I just talked, is that I constructed very simple model and this described how the cells communicate each other. Okay? And then think about how the natural selection will affect these production rate and sensitivity. And once we know these gene networks, molecular mechanisms, how the traits expression, and the social interactions, then it is maybe it's very useful to combine, start from the model which have minimum element of this one, and then think about what is the evolutionary outcome that can be useful. Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful talk. I didn't quite understand in the beginning when you introduced DIF1, the messenger. So what do we know about its diffusion? So somehow late in the model I didn't see diffusion constant, so I assume that everything is well enough mixed.
Yeah, yes.
So
yeah.
It is...
Yes. In this model, it's the simplest possible model. And then if you ask about more details, please ask David. Or John.
But it is just secreted in the medium, or it is propagated from cell to cell, or?
In fact, they form the sort of the assemblage, and then the form is a slug. They will move like this,
mm-hmm.
depending on the species. Then presumably, maybe it's a gradient or anything like this. See, but that is a way to interact. Interaction occurs between cells. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
But my treatment is very simple, it's just a mixing.
Right. So so you have one and two genotypes. Maybe you said something about 10 or...
Yeah, yeah, of course. You can easily extend into the case of the all sorts of the ways combining. But I like to make on the simplest possible model. So just focusing on pure, and then there are some chance to mix.
Well, so for example, so you have a receptor and a signaling molecule, but uh-huh. we know for sure, well, I don't know about that much about DIPI, but there's going to be more than one of each of those.
Signaling molecules?
Yeah, probably, uh-huh. yeah, right. So for MIXO, I know a little bit more. For MIXO, there's multiple signaling molecules, and there's... Mm-hmm. And so for sure, I mean, so how would you expand that? I guess would it be one? How might you want to expand this model? Even though this is the simplest case, in principle example, right?
Yeah.
So if we're going to do what you want to do and make a functional synthesis, the
now if we know all these things about detail, we can incorporate, but it's probably result would be, I don't know, similar. Please answer,
biology. Yeah, I can't answer the questions about diffusion rates and things like that of diff, but I can add something to what Mike was asking about. So dictyostelium biologists often talk about diff1 being the chemical which stimulates stalk production.
Yeah.
It's actually somewhat more precise to say that it's the chemical that stimulates pre-stalk O cells, which end up forming the basal disc primarily rather than the stalk itself. Well, it is part of the stalk cell. And that's okay, I think. Recently, just in the last year, Pauline Schapp's lab has come up with a new molecule, a different part of the signaling system, which is, let me try to remember, cyclic di-GMP, which is interesting because it's a common bacterial signal and not commonly used in eukaryotes. But she argues, and I'm not a cell biologist, I can't evaluate this very well independently, she argues that this is the main signal that is inducing pre-stalk cells in general. Now, if it operates in the same way that diff does, your model would presumably transfer over very neatly. But I don't know if it, you know, if it's produced by pre-spore cells and broken down by pre-stalk cells or not. But that might be something you'd want to look at. It does get more complex, as Mike suggests.
Other questions? Here we have.
So according to a study by Neil Buttery et al., there's a pretty good amount of variation in stalk allocation, spore stalk allocation between different strains.
Yeah.
And although they didn't emphasize it, it also looks like that the spore stalk ratios go up in chimeras. So there is some, so in your model there was kind of a basically the same spore stalk ratio, right?
I think there are high chance to be mixed all the time. I think that will change. Certainly. But what I said is that the fraction, even if the spore ratio is does not differ, we could see the trace of the sort of conflict between strains. In different aspect, in the case of the chemical production, much higher chemical production. That was my message. And then if the mixture is very high, then certainly we expect this decline of the investment into altruism.
If the mixture is high? If you have more strains?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you had a more of a fact, if you actually had differential expression of behavior dependent on genotype?
If you use this shape of the sort of the usefulness of that stalk, then it is given from the environment. So I don't think that would be so optimal ratio is fixed. But then normally, because of the conflict, they will become shorter than this. Yeah. But how much shorter will depends on the amount of conflict.
Hi, that was very interesting, and I'd like to follow up on the question of scaling here. And do I understand it that there's a different time scale for the generation of the phenotypic diversity than the processes that lead to evolution, that that's fast and the evolution is slow?
Yeah, yes, yes.
And could the time, the characteristic time scales for those two processes, is that what leads to the different time scales in your figure, in your trajectory, where you have a fast approach to this curve?
Not really. That is evolution. So both are then slow time scale, and then so evolutionary time scale. And within evolution time scale, there are still faster element and slow element.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then where does the time scale for the physiological process come in? Do you just take that to equilibrium and then do the evolution?
Yes, yes, exactly.
And then there are two time scales within the evolution process.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any final questions? No? In that case, thank you very much, Joe, and thank you all the speakers. So the final session starts again at 11:45 with two talks on social insects.